Blog Talk Radio.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can, come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embrace it? Come on, tell him. Here I am.
Here I am.
Come on, tell him one more time.
instructed them to have a feast, a celebration, and celebrating him. And so these are feasts, according to the Old Testament, these are eternal feasts. And so we're going to do what we can to avail ourselves and also to prepare for the new thing that God is doing in the new coming year. Amen? Now, so much for that. We'd like for you to turn in your Bibles over to Romans, the 4th chapter. We also have not only discovered, and we are yet discovering, that God is not only doing a new thing, but he also wants us to understand that we need to extend our faith. We need to have our faith enlarged and expanded. We need to have a greater capacity so that we can embrace the kingdom. In the fourth chapter, praise God, of the book of Romans, and we want to begin our reading, hallelujah, at verse 1, the fourth chapter of Romans, verse 1, and we're going to do what we can to read as quickly as we possibly can. Last week, we praised God for the opportunity to just to share some words of encouragement with you, some of you all, not all of you. And we'll have those, hopefully, those CDs ready for you at least by Wednesday. And for those that we won't see on Wednesday, we'll have them ready for you next Sunday. In verse 1 of the 4th chapter of Romans, it says, "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision, or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a sign of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps that of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." Also need for you to turn to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. If you just go a little right there, you'll, praise God, come across it. Ephesians, the first chapter. And there's some statements here that are made that, as we noted some weeks ago, and we're going to review a thing or two very, very quickly. Verse 1, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." Verse 2, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at the next verse, praise God. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, we want to further this discussion, and we want to recognize something, and the subject, the discussion basically is entitled, "Beautify Me, Lord." Beautify me, Lord. Now, for some of you guys, I know good well, you know, that machoism, that macho stuff, that He-Man and all that stuff, you said, "What do you mean beautify me? I'm a guy, I'm a dude, I'm a man." Well, how many ever heard of Solomon? All right. The Bible said, Jesus said that Solomon was arrayed in such a way. Now, first of all, Solomon was so gloriously arrayed. Solomon was a beautiful man. Right. If you were, I know some of you ladies, there's no doubt, if you saw Solomon coming down the street, first of all, you might not have seen him because of the entourage and the posse and the procession that would have preceded him. I mean, because he had it like that. But the guy was so decked out. You talking about clean. You talking about sharp. I mean, he wrote the book. I mean, Solomon, whoa. The one woman, just hearing him, she was just breathless. You know, I mean, she just couldn't take it. She just didn't have any voice left. I mean, she was just awestruck, you know. She probably fainted because, I mean, of not only just the way he looked, but because of the wisdom that poured out of his mouth. But the Bible says that God has created creation in such a way that even his creation tops even the way that Solomon was decked out. But Solomon was beautiful. He was beautified by God. Now, some of you say, where are we going with this? Well, just hold your horses. Just stay strapped in. Praise God. Hallelujah. We read here that the Bible says that we all have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, y'all, I've asked you all, and I encourage you, please, a couple things. We want you to pray the prayers at the end of the first chapter of Ephesians. We want you to also to pray the prayers that are at the end of the third chapter of Ephesians. Pray at least twice a day, three times a day, as much as you can. And when you pray it for yourself, don't forget me and pray it for everybody else. But all I'm saying, but make sure you pray it for yourself. Okay? That's important. Then we also want you to meditate on this scripture here in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3. First of all, you got to meditate on this stuff. You got to talk with God. You got to turn it over. And, you know, you got to be like the cow. You know, the cow, chews food what? How many times? Thank you. That's good enough. The cow chews, he chews the cud more than once, more than twice. And with the word of God, you got to do that. And with this here, because I want you to get this downloaded inside of you. You got to understand that you have been raised up to sit together in the heavenlies. Now, first of all, in order for you to be able to grasp the fullness of that, you're going to have to meditate. The Bible says that you right now have been raised up to sit together in the heavenlies. The Bible says that you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I didn't write this. But you are responsible to walk in it. I'm responsible to walk in it. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that. First of all, this is the word of God. I believe this. Now, Paul wasn't lying. He wasn't doped up, drunk, or nothing like that. At least not on earthly stuff. He may have been drunk in the Holy Ghost, but praise God, that's okay. That's good. We need to get a little drunk in the Holy Ghost every now and then. As much as some of us used to get drunk off that other stuff, if we just get drunk like that with God, some of us would be a lot better. But we need to get drunk in this word here. The Bible says that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You will not be able to apprehend, comprehend, appropriate, and acquire the fullness of this revelation unless you spend time with God. And unless you can see yourself seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. You got to understand, you got joint seating right now. They made a place for you at the right hand of the Father. You are right now there, and yet you are here. I can't explain that other than that. Now, first of all, how many of y'all got a body? Well, of course, all of y'all do, because that's how you got in here. How many of you have noticed that whatever your head tells you to do, your body follows? Your kidney has no vote against it. Your liver has to do what the head say do. Your liver keeps doing what it does, processing stuff. Come on, talk to me. Your stomach keeps assimilating products that you drink or you eat. Come on, talk to me, somebody. But you know, at the end of the day, your body will go where your head says go. We, the body of Christ, got a problem. We don't want to go where the head says go. We don't even want to be where the head is.
The head is at the right hand of the Father right now. And we, his body, we're there, and we're also here in the earth. Now, what are we talking about? Beautify me, Lord. Beautify me, Lord, now. Beautify me. Now, first of all, we got to understand something. Turn over here to Ephesians, the second chapter. We'll get through with the introduction in a minute here. Praise God. Ephesians, the second chapter. Here's another scripture I need for you. You need to, I'm telling you, God's doing a new thing. And I'm going to tell you, he had to work with the body in an upgraded fashion, because I don't know if you understand, you're the best that Jesus got. So what does that mean? Don't answer that. We're the best that Jesus has. Remember, we're the body. You might say, well, you know, the kingdom can advance without me. How can it? You're a part of the body. If Jesus is going to get the job done, he has to use you too. And some of y'all have retired. He said, well, back in the day, I used to be really churching pretty good. But, you know, right now, Arthur and the boys, you know, they got me on lockdown. And, you know, I can't, you know, bam, or either you're my girlfriend or my boyfriend. They don't like for me to do all this spiritual stuff. Come on, Pookie and them. Nah, they don't like that. Well, whose God are you serving? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve God. Amen. And if you are part of the body of Christ, the head says, advance my kingdom. The head, Christ Jesus, says, advance my kingdom. Look at verse 6 of the second chapter of Ephesians here. It says, and this is talking about, let's go up a little bit here. Let's go up to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he what? Loved us. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It's by grace that we're saved. Come on, praise God. By grace. Like I said, I mean, you know, when I got saved in jail in 1971, it was by grace that God got somebody up there to put those pamphlets on the jail table there. And then the turnkey allowed me to get out. And I was there all by myself. And after I ate my probably surf sandwich and whatever else they were serving, I mean, come on, talk to me, somebody. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And so I ate my syrup sandwich and maybe whatever else stale stuff they had. And I read that pamphlet, and the pamphlet was what I needed. God spoke to me and told me I needed Jesus through the pamphlet. I prayed, received Christ as my personal Savior and Lord, and expected to get out of jail the next day, because that was the end of my third day. Well, guess what? Because I prayed and God said he was going to get me out of jail. Guess what? God took 37 more days to get me out. But I got out on the 40th day. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Something about the number 40. Hallelujah. I got out. Not on the third day I got out. I got on the 40th day. Hallelujah. And haven't been back since. By the grace of God. I could have gone back probably the next weekend, but I didn't get caught. Okay. Now. Some of y'all don't understand that. Some of y'all too religious to relate to that. But the bottom line, the mercy of God was on me. The Bible says that who is God, who is rich in mercy. He had mercy on me. And so by the grace of God, I didn't go back to jail ever again for any infraction. Haven't been back to jail since 1971 except to see folk and to visit folk. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Verse 5, it said, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Look at verse 6. And has raised us up to sit. What? Up together. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, mind you, some of y'all are waiting for that to happen with your religious self. No, we're already there. You got to go and meditate on this. But that ain't really the home run I'm trying to hit with this. Look at verse 7. And in the ages to come, what? He might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the ages, the word age there is representative of dispensations of time. It's representative of time periods after when Paul wrote this. Are y'all listening to me? Here it tells us, and I'm going to read from the Amplified because I want you, and again, I'm just still in the introduction. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I haven't even got to the meat of what we really want to talk to. But we need to review this, and hopefully we're stirring you up just a little bit here. Praise God, because you got to meditate on this stuff. Because you got to go spend time with God. The Holy Spirit has to bring you the revelation so that you can apprehend, so that you can comprehend spiritually, so that you can take the spiritual meat and not choke off of it. Some of us, we're so busy, all we want is milk, 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 milk. But when are we going to eat some meat every now and then? We need to be able to chew some meat. We got teeth, spiritual teeth, to chew meat. Let's eat some meat. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Look what it says here in the seventh verse of the second chapter. I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, he did this that he might clearly, now listen to this, demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace. His unmerited favor in kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, mind you, this was written almost 2,000 years ago. So in the dispensations that have happened since this scripture was wrote back about close to 50 A.D., amen. Now, God has moved in sundry times. He's moved over the epochs of time since this time to reveal himself. There have been many men and women since this time that have walked in dimensions of fulfillment of this scripture. Right. And I'm going to tell you, God wants to visit us. Right. But we got to visit him. Right. We got to spend some time with him. We need to go and meditate on these scriptures that are alive right now. Because you raised up. We're raised up. We got joint seating with Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us, and the Bible tells us that the blessings of Abraham are ours. In review, we noticed that there were two significant things about the blessings of Abraham. First of all, God told Abraham, oh, by the way, I'm going to make you rich, famous, and I'm going to bless you so much, I'm going to put my blessing upon you. All right. He said, I'm going to put my blessing upon you. And he said, I'm going to bless you so greatly. And remember, this blessing is a spiritual blessing that supersedes natural stuff. It overwhelms and it destroys natural phenomena, natural limitations. It defies gravity. Come on, talk to me, somebody. It puts upon an individual a dimension of the supernatural. It made Abram, who later, of course, became Abraham, a supernaturalist. And it caused things to change in his life. God said, I'm going to bless you so much, you're going to be rich, you're going to be famous, I'm going to cause you to inherit and to have houses and lands, property. He said, I'm going to bless you so much, every family on the planet will be blessed because of you. All right. Now, first of all, you need to meditate on that too, because that is yours. That's yours. Why? Because of what the Holy Ghost said through Paul in the third chapter of Galatians. He said, if you be Christ, do you belong to Jesus? Are you going to heaven anyhow with your bad to the bone self? That means you belong to Christ. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise that the Holy Ghost gave Abram. The promise that the Holy Ghost gave Abraham. We read and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, praise God, Not only was the blessing that was recorded there in Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3, but also we read, well, Melchizedek met him, and Melchizedek told him, he said, he blessed the man of God, didn't he? Let's go over there real quick. Come on, I want you to see it for yourself, because you need to see this for yourself, because if you don't, you're going to be thinking I'm lying. What I'm about to tell you, that's yours. 14th chapter Genesis. Are y'all there yet?
Right.
We're still in the introduction. The review. Verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And the bread and wine, what was in the world was that? Communion. This was a foreshadow of the times that we were going to be living in. And we got something for you too with that. I want you to understand something here in a minute. Brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. He was God's high priest in the earth at that time. He actually was more blessed, and he had more spiritual authority than Abraham. And the reason why we know this, the Bible says the way the chain of command of the hierarchy runs this way. The greater always is the one that blesses the lesser.
All right.
Are y'all listening to me? The spiritual authority and might and the exousia that rested upon this king of Salem here was greater than the exousia that Abraham had.
All right.
Let's look at verse 19. And he blessed him. I guess so. And he said, blessed be Abram of the what? Most High God, what? Possessor of heaven and earth. Now, I didn't write this, so don't you get mad at me and talking about, well, that preacher don't know what to talk. I just read it. You just read it. So you deal with it. He made him the possessor of heaven and earth. God gave him the planet. And guess what? He did give it to you too. Now, some of you, oh, Lord Jesus, now you're saying tilt. Your brain is saying tilt, tilt, tilt. Now, I didn't say that you got instant acquisition now because you know good and well. But in actuality, you and Jesus, we and Jesus own the planet.
All right.
No, now. You got to see it now. You got to see it now. Because if you don't see it now, you won't be able to be beautified.
Right.
Remember, we're talking about beautify me, Lord. You got to see it now. You got to acquire this now. You got to own this now. There's some grace that God wants to download and upload to you. There is some mercies and goodness that God, he wants to lavish you with. But you got to be a possessor of this stuff now. You know, a lot of people are waiting till they get to heaven, to the, you know, into that dimension, and then they're going to start messing the devil up. The devil ain't going to be around to mess up. You're supposed to mess him up now. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Get your eschatology right. When we go to be with Jesus in the kingdom up there in heaven, the devil won't even be around. You're supposed to beat him down now. That's why you got to possess this stuff now. You got to acquire this stuff now. You got to apprehend this stuff by faith. Abraham did. And he was the father of the faithful. He's the father of the people of faith. Are y'all here? Didn't we read that earlier? Okay, all right. So you and Jesus are on the planet now. Yeah. For some of you, if you really allow the revelation to click, it's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way you pray. It's going to change the way you operate. You know, people who own, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, they don't seemingly worry necessarily about what they have. What they worry about is what they're going to lose. That's their biggest fear. They don't want to lose nothing. But the stuff they got, hey, they flaunt it, don't they? They walk in such a
demeanor and a presence, and there's an attitude of, you know, about them. Well, guess what? Since some of y'all just informed that you and Jesus own the planet, because you got to remember now, all the promises that were made by God to Abraham, they were so that the seed would come. The promises in actuality were made to the seed, Christ Jesus. But when the seed came, praise God, and he finished his assignment by dying on the cross at Calvary, and then God raised him from the dead on the third day. Glory to God. Guess what? He was in hell for three days and three nights. His body was in a tomb. His physical body was in a tomb. But when God the Father raised him up on the third day, Jesus, after he kicked some devil hiney for a while and took the keys of death and hell, come on, talk to me, somebody. Then he went up to that grave, got in his body, and then he raised up in his body and walked in the earth. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And then after about 40 days and hanging out with the disciples and teaching them about the kingdom, the Bible says he was airlifted out of here on a cloud and went into heaven. The same Bible, when we read the revelations of Paul, Paul said that when Jesus died, we died. The same Bible says when Jesus went to hell, we went to hell. The same Bible says when Jesus was raised up from the dead, glory to God, we were raised from the dead. The same Bible tells us when Jesus ascended, glory to God, somebody, we ascended. But some of you say, well, I'm still here, and I'm sitting there with all these problems and all this crazy stuff, my body racked with pain, my checking account is overdrawn, and ma'am, they got all these folks hating on me, and you trying to tell me that I own a part of the planet, and I don't even own any property in the natural. Well, glory to God, that's changing. That's changing. Because we own the planet. Now maybe some people who own our stuff, they don't know it yet, but they're going to have to give our stuff up, okay? I want you to go over here, praise God. So much for the review. Now we can get to the real stuff, okay? First of all, back in Romans. Man, I like to review myself. I'm getting a little charged up, man. Huh? I'm ready for the airlifting out of here. All right, the fourth chapter of Romans, verse 1. What shall we then... Yeah, thank you. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? Now, remember, this is the Apostle Paul, after the Spirit of God had given him revelation about the good news about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And now he's doing everything he can to put it into context for these believers at the church at Rome. He said, he discovered that Abraham found something. Okay, let's keep reading. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. One thing that Paul discovered, that Abraham discovered something independent of works. Now, the Bible tells us in James that faith without works is dead. So you do have to do something. However, that is not what our faith hinges upon. Let's keep reading. For what said the scripture? Abraham what? Believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, that word counted is an accounting word. It's an accounting word for accounting principles and practices. So there was something that when Abram believed God, God, in his accounting system, he wrote it up as Abraham being perfect in his faith. And therefore, God gave him stuff that Abraham in his own right didn't deserve. All right. It's called faith. It's called believing. Now, let's look at this. So it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if you work, for y'all in here under the sound of my voice, if you're trying to, you know, you're trying to do good works to get saved so you can get in the kingdom, that ain't working. If you're trying to justify before God by, you know, not cussing, not chewing, not smoking crack, not chasing skirts and, you know, bam, living with crazy folk and doing all kinds, you know, and you're not doing that because you say, well, God is going to allow me in his kingdom because I ain't like these other sinners. You're still going to bust hell wide open unless you receive Jesus by faith. Because it's by faith. None of us can work for salvation. Now, for those of us who are saved, what we're doing, we're just bam, you know, because we love God, bam, because we want to see the kingdom advance. We do good works. Amen. It is what we're called to do. As kings and priests of the Most High God, there is a ministry call. There is a servant's call upon our lives. But we are not working so we can get saved. Because you can't work to get saved. Let's keep reading. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly. Oh, that's why we're saved. Because we believe on him that justified. We believe on Jesus. Come on, talk to me, somebody. The Bible says if you believe on him, salvation is apprehended, acquired. It said, on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Man, what in the world is this? Wait a minute, what's this word blessedness? Y'all see that word blessedness? Man, what in the world is he talking about blessedness? Now, first of all, now the writer here, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he introduces another character, David. Now, if you study these guys, were these guys perfect? No. The one guy, Abraham, as soon as he got him in a jam, and he had this beautiful woman, and he told Abe, hey, listen, babe, you know, these guys, these are cutthroats. And, you know, these guys will cut you up and ask questions later. So when we get there and they start asking questions, tell them that I'm your brother. And the first time he did it, you know, when I read it in the Bible, I'm saying, man, what kind of guy is this, man? You know, what kind of integrity? What kind of, you know, yeah, I mean. And then the first time I said, okay, all right. Well, I say he's human, you know, and all right. And then the second time rolled around, and I'm saying, Lord, what is this? Because now, check this out. God protected him. All right. Woo! Both times, God backed him. Oh, my God. Some of y'all need to get a revelation of that. The devil's beating you down with guilt, shame, condemnation, and trying to tell you that you have committed the unpardonable sin. Now, mind you, I ain't for sin. I ain't trying to encourage you to sin and stay in sin. I'm just trying to tell you, you just need to get up out of that mess, and you need to admit it and quit it and go on about your holy business. Abraham twice lied. God backed him. In fact, the one king, he told me, hey, listen, man, you better watch what you're doing. You better watch what you're looking at too. But that guy down there, that guy's a prophet. And you better don't touch that. You know what he said is don't you touch her. Now first of all, that's one thing. You know, when I saw that bothered me, and it, you know, until I got some revelation. But then David, I mean,
mean, he saw Bathsheba, and she was all that, I guess. I mean, hey, you know, you read the scripture. Come on. He saw he was already married. She was already married. He's supposed to have been out in war and out in the battlefield. He wasn't. He was supposed to have been. And y'all better be careful where y'all supposed to be, and you ain't there this week. Come on, talk to me, somebody. I'm talking to somebody. You need to stay out of the devil's backyard. Come on, talk to me, somebody. The devil got on him, and he couldn't resist, and he summons her, and, you know, bam, the rest is history. And then, you know, then not only that's one crazy, horrible sin, and then he tried to cover it up. To the point, he actually murdered a guy, murdered her husband.
All right.
I mean, you got two blatant sins. And yeah, he paid for it, and you're going to pay for it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, there was death. His son through Bathsheba, the first one, what? Died. And God brought what? Judgment on him. But then he still married Bathsheba. And then God blessed him with Solomon. My God! I mean, for us in our religious mindset, we say, that's what kind of God is this? But listen to what it says. Even as David, verse 6, also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Saying what? Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now, one thing about David, he was a repentant man. Psalms 51, it'll preach. So if you want to see after that, after he did that with I believe it's Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, you know, and the prophet came in and told him what he did. That prophet had some serious courage. Oh, my God. You can imagine, man, him standing there in front of, first of all, he loved the king. And the king may have been one of his relatives, but the bottom line, he's the king. If he already was cutthroat enough to get Uriah sent to the front lines to be killed, I mean, what are you going to do with the prophet? They've been killing prophets. You know, it wasn't the first time a prophet would have lost his head.
Right.
But Nathan stood there and bore witness of this ungodly sin.
Uh-huh.
And David repented. We see it in Psalm 51. But I want you to understand, look at verse 6 here. There's this word, blessedness of the man. I'm going to read from the Amplified version here. And I want you to see something about this word blessedness. Some of you already maybe know. I mean, I ain't mad at you. Praise God. Verse 6, it says, thus David congratulates the man. Did y'all hear that? David is congratulating you. Praise God. David, right now, if he was here, he would congratulate you. Come on. He said, David congratulates the person and pronounces a blessing on him, to whom God credits righteousness apart from the works he does. Now, that's in the Amplified version. I want you to understand this word blessedness in the King James is very significant. I want you to listen to this. Guess what the word blessedness means? Weeks ago, we talked about bless, what it meant. It means to kneel down to bestow a benefit upon one. You know, whether it's we bless God, okay, or when God blesses us. Now, mind you, when God blesses us, that's huge. The Bible tells us that God blessed Abraham. But if you keep reading the stories in the Old Testament, you see that God not only blessed Abraham, he blessed his seed. And he continued to bless his seed. Now, this blessing is a spiritual blessing. It is something that is transferable and is significant, and we can spend it in the natural.
All right.
It is spiritual currency that supersedes stuff in the natural. Are y'all listening to me? You can go to God's ATM machine and you can make a withdrawal with it. Are y'all listening to me? You can go into the realms of the kingdom and you can appropriate healing when you need healing successfully. You can go into the realms of the spirit, and when your baby is tied up, wrapped up, and entangled up with the devil, you can break the devil's back. There's spiritual authority in the blessing. The spiritual authority gives you the right and the privilege to go to the devil and tell the devil, now your days are over. The spiritual authority where you now can bask in the reality. Yes, I'm God's chosen. Yes, I am God's elect. I am significant in the earth because I'm in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. This authority comes with the blessing. Oh, y'all listen to me. Now, but I want you to understand something. The blessedness that Paul writes here, that this interpretation here that Paul got, and we see the transliteration here in the sixth verse of the fourth chapter, this word blessedness is the word beautification. Now, so I know some of you guys, you got problems with that. So why do you put a suit on with your bad to the bone self? Why do you like them Stasics? Some of you even like gators. What's up with that? You don't need gators to get from point A to point B with your bad. Why you buy a new car with your crazy self? Yeah, that's for beautification purposes. Solomon in all of his glory, Jesus talked about him. And you tell me that you can't connect with this word beautification? Well, you know, to each his own. I'm getting me some of this. Come on, talk to me, somebody. This word blessedness that Abraham walked in, that David walked in, and these are two of the greatest patriarchs in all of the kingdom. This word means blessedness. And this word is attribution of good fortune. You mean to say you want bad fortune? No, we're talking about good fortune. We're talking about creating a new classification of what fortune is. Are y'all listening to me? This word, blessedness, it means blessedness, of course, but it means to beautify. It means to pronounce or esteem fortune on somebody. Well, you know, I'm that somebody. Come on, talk. I'm a whosoever am. That's what I am, a whosoever. Yeah, I'm that somebody. Yeah, pronounce or esteem this fortune upon me. It means called blessed. Right. And guess what? Guess what it also means? It means count happy. Uh-huh. Now, I don't know if you understand, but the word happy in the Old Testament, when you study the word happy, and I'm going to tell you, the only way you can be happy, you got to obey God. All this other junk, all this other crazy stuff you see on the commercials and these movies and TV stations. The Bible tells us in the Proverbs that the way to happiness is to obey God, trust God, believe God. Now, this word blessed means, blessedness means count happy. The Old Testament definition for happiness means happiness is. I don't know if y'all got that. The word happy is the root, but it means happiness. Be quiet, because there's various kinds of happiness. And if I talk to you long enough, you can tell me you're happy about this, but you're unhappy about that. Because the happiness has not taken on its place of destroying the unhappiness there yet. But God wants you to be happy. The blessedness is what causes that to happen. This word blessedness means to be supremely blessed.
means to make holy. It means to divinely request favor. We've been asking you to also decree and declare that you are what? Increasing in what? In wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with people. Because the blessedness is what's going to cause that to happen to you. This word blessedness, it means fortunate. Here's another one. It means well off. Are y'all well off yet? Some of you say, well, right now, man, I'm just between blessings. I don't know. Are you well off yet? Because you better call those things that be not as though they were. You better decree and declare. You better prophesy to that circumstance. Come on, talk to. Are you well off yet? Yeah. Blessedness. It means that you're well off. Why? Because you and Jesus own the planet. You got it like that. In the 7th chapter of Daniel, the Bible says that God said there was coming a time when he was going to give the kingdom to the saints. Guess what? That happened almost 2,000 years ago. You are a possessor of the kingdom. I need a meditate tattoo. The word blessedness, I'm almost done. It means multiplied happiness. Multiplied happiness is to walk in. They tell you got 6 months to live. Walk in happiness for 6 months. And guess what? You'll be living about 30 more years. Bash death in the head. Why? Because I'm raised up to sit together in the heavenlies. Glory to God. God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm beautified with deliverance. I'm beautified with healing. I'm beautified with what? Multiple what? Happiness. I'm beautified with prosperity. I'm beautified with abundance. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Are you well off yet? Hey, hey. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Turn over to Romans 15. We're almost there. Romans 15. Glory to God. We're almost there. Romans 15. Woo! Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm just a little happy. Yeah, I'm experiencing one of those happinesses. Look at the 15th chapter of Romans. Boy, I never finished my notes. And this is my notes right here. Okay, I never finished my notes. Okay. Praise God. The 29th blessing. Tell me the 29th verse. Woo! Glory to God. Look what it says. It says, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. What does the word gospel mean? Good news. I guess it is when you tell everybody how well off they are, huh? I mean, in Christ. Because you own the heaven and the earth with Christ. God has blessed you to be a blessing to every family on the planet. I guess so. That's good news. Sound like good news to me. Why? God's doing a new thing. Look, I'm reading from the Amplified. And I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the abundant blessing of the gospel of Christ. Let's look at another one. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 10. Oh, my God. Woo! Glory to God. This is going, I don't know about you, but it's going to do something for me. When I saw this, oh, Lord Jesus, when I saw this yesterday, I said, oh, yeah. Ooh-wee, I like this. This is good, man. I said, I hope they enjoy it as much as me. How many we were reading back in the 14th chapter of Genesis? You remember when Melchizedek met Abram coming from the slaughter? And remember, he brought, he's the high priest of the Most High God. And God told him, okay, I want you to go and meet Abram because I want to bestow a blessing upon him. I want to increase him even more than he already is blessed. And so the man of God, glory to God, this high priest of Jehovah met him, and the Bible says that he brought some stuff with him. What did he bring with him to serve Abram with? What did he bring? What did the Bible says? Y'all forgot already? He brought bread and wine. And then this apostle said, that represents what? Okay, well, let's see if that holds true. Let's look at verse 16. Here, look what it says. The cup of what? Woo! Communion is the cup of blessing. Wow! Communion. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because every time you receive it, it's the cup of blessing. And you, while you're sitting at home watching as the world turns, does that still come on? Oh, I'm sorry, General Hospital, whatever is still on there. All that junk. Why don't you and Jesus sit down and y'all have y'all a cup of blessing together? Woo! He said that if you don't do this, you will not experience the blessing like you need to experience the blessing. Oh, I'm sorry. We got to read the rest of that, don't we? Look at verse 29. It says what here? I'm sorry, not 29, but 16. It says, the cup of blessing, which we what? We bless it. Oh, we get a chance to what? Invoke the blessing. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? But it's called here by Paul, and this changed my life forever, because, you know, it's more than not just communion. It's the cup of blessing. This is a part of the blessedness that Abram found, that David found, that Paul found, that we have found. Are y'all well off yet? Oh, God, we got to quit. I hate to, because I still got half my notes to go through here, but it's time to quit. It's already, we're beyond our time. Let us all stand. Those of you that can, praise the name of Jesus. Father, we thank and bless you. We do appreciate the grace that you've extended to us. Father, you said that in the ages to come, and we thank you right now, that we're living in one of those ages, one of those dispensations where you desire to lavish us. Tell the Lord, beautify me, Lord. Beautify me, Lord.
Beautify me, Lord. Beautify me, Lord. Lavish me, Lord, in blessings, in happiness. Lord, we welcome the glory of God, the manifest presence of Jesus, operative and functional in our lives. Father, we thank you for the grace, the anointing that destroys yokes and lifts heavy burdens. We thank you, Father, for the revelatory grace that rests upon us to see in the realm of the Spirit and know the will of God. We welcome the manifestations of signs and wonders. We thank you right now, and we release the glory of God into the very atmosphere of those under the sound of my voice. Father, we access as children of the Most High God. Our authority gives us rights and privileges to appropriate, to access, Lord God, to apprehend your goodness. Lord, we thank you that we qualify. We thank you that we qualify. We thank you that we qualify. And Lord, for those of us that are challenged with guilt, challenged with conviction of sins, condemnation, that are challenged with even, Lord, judgmental, oppressive, tormenting demons, oh God, right now, Lord, come on, let's repent. Come on, let's repent. We repent. And I'm just saying, this is, you know, the Bible says that David and Abram, they discovered the blessedness. And one of the things that repentance is what ensures that the blessing will be activated and will function. Father, we repent, Lord. Where we missed it, where we've come short of your glory, where we have done things that were not representative of the kingdom. And Lord, the Spirit of God has been moving upon us, Lord God, to turn from our wicked ways. Lord, we repent, we repent, we repent. Lord, where we gossiped and we slandered somebody else's name. Lord, where we said something out of anger, out of rage. Where we, Father, mistreated a brother or sister. Lord, we repent, we repent, we repent. Lord, where we have not been in your word like we need to. Where we have not prayed, we repent, we repent. And Lord, right now we break covenant with those deceptive, lying, corrupting, tormenting spirits right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we welcome the blood of Jesus right now. We access the blood of Jesus moving mightily in this place, mightily in and upon our lives. We welcome the presence of God. We, Father, right now ask that you would send forth dispatch. And Lord God, calls thousands and thousands of giant warrior angels with flaming swords of fire to war on our behalf, to do what we can't do for ourselves. As children of the kingdom, as kings and priests of the Most High God, we have rights and privileges, Lord God, to access the kingdom benefits. And in the name of Jesus, we break and dismantle every curse. We bind up all Father's strongholds. And in the name of Jesus, we command every spirit that's not of God to go right now. Leave. Go. Up and out. Leave. Move right now in Jesus' name. Go. Leave right now. Your day's over. Loose my brother. Loose my sister now. In Jesus' name. 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 And Father, we thank you right now for the liberty that you graced us with in Christ. And we welcome the presence of God. We welcome forgiveness right now. Come on, receive. Come on, believe you receive. Receive forgiveness right now. Access forgiveness right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We believe we receive that we are forgiven of the sins, of those things that easily beset us right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you right now for restoration. We thank you for restoring us back to that position of grace, authority, power, significance. Even, Lord Jesus, as you've raised us up to sit together with you, we thank you for joint seating afresh. We thank you for all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now! Now! And Lord, as we prepare to receive the cup of blessing, Lord, as we prepare our hearts, to our spirits, to receive the cup of blessing, Lord, we welcome the change. We welcome the change. We thank you for changing our addresses in the spirit. We thank you for moving us on up, even up higher in you. We welcome and appropriate the new realms, new dimensions, new things, God, that you have predestined for us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for changing our mindsets. We're well off now. Glory to God. We're well off in every dimension. We're well off in every area. Oh, glory to God. Praise God for the blessedness that we have in you, Jesus. We thank you right now that you made us heirs of God and joint heirs with you, Christ Jesus. We thank you for changing so much in our lives, oh God. We welcome the blessing. We appropriate the blessing. We access the dimensions of the blessing now in Christ Jesus' name. Father, as we prepare to receive the cup of blessing, Lord, this, you may have your seat. Come on, keep praying. This is the cup of blessing. Father, we thank you for the spiritual significance that's fused and interwoven and intertwined in this meal today. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would change, Father, this bread and this juice from its carnal, natural function and use, and change it, Lord Jesus, like you purpose. Even when you instructed us almost 2,000 years ago, you said that we were to do this in remembrance of you, in remembrance of your death, burial, and resurrection, and your ascension to the Father. And Lord, you said that if we did not eat of your flesh, nor drink of your blood, that we would not have. There was an impartation. There was an essence of glory, of blessedness, that we were not going to afford ourselves. You said that we needed to do this, that your life, that your blessedness, that your glory, that you would beautify us in this cup of blessing. And Lord, we thank you for the manifestation of you beautifying us and you causing us to walk in the dimensions of glory. We thank you, Father, for cladding us and covering us in beautiful clothing, beautiful robes that represent that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we thank you that this meal is blessed, this cup of blessing. Lord, change this. Lord, alter it. Cause it to be what it needs to be for us to walk in you. We thank you for this now in Christ Jesus' name. We decree that this is the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the body and this is the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the body and this is the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We praise God that this meal, this cup of blessing.
Again, we want to thank everyone for calling in, coming on, even if you're on the internet, listening to Apostle Leonard Emmons, my pastor of Living Way Christian Center. He will be starting January, will be coming on once a week, every Tuesday. So we want to encourage you to tune in at 7 p.m. Central Time. and meet with us, Apostle Leonard Emmons, pastor of Living Way Christian Center. He will be teaching on the apostolic and the prophetic so you can learn more, to go deeper, and to be beautified. There's no lack in God. And he had already made it possible for us to avail in every area. So again, we want to thank you, and we pray that your evening, your weekend, your tomorrow, and your yesterdays will complement what God has in order and lined up for you. So, Father, we thank you for this hour of power. And, God, we ask you that you would beautify everyone on this line. Take our minds to a place, Father, that we can know that we're seated in heavenly places with you, God. Take our heart, Lord God, that we would be walking with a perfect heart, God, toward mankind. God, allow our ear gates to hear what you would have us to hear, Lord God. Allow our mouths, Lord God, to speak what you would have us to say, Father. Father, we belong to you, Lord God, and we yield to your Holy Spirit. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you with the blood of Jesus over us, and we yield to your authority, and we yield to your power. Lead us to a place where we'll be totally fulfilled to do your work. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray and we say amen, amen. Just know in this season, it's not a season to pull back, but it's a season to press in even the more. And nevertheless, continue to tell the Lord that you give yourself away to him.
I give myself away.
God bless everyone. Have a blessed evening.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them. Here I am. Here I am.
Give myself away, so you can use me. I give myself.